shit. Yeah. All right. One more,
man. Good evening, family. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My name is Valerie. And I'm probably going to be taking off shit because that's what I do when I share. I'm nervous. And I guess I'm nervous because there's so many people here. I had no idea that I was going to be so nervous. I had no idea it was going to be a whole lot of people here. I thought I was just going to a little small town, a little convention, you know. So they set you up in here, so don't worry about it. It's all right. I'm not used to standing in front of a podium speaking either. Where I come from, we sit down and speak. And what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is that everybody do things differently. And we do what's best for the group. And what's best for the group is what's best for the person that's walking in the door that, you know, want to stay clean. The topic I'm sharing on is looking for love in all the wrong places. And, you know, and it's so funny because I got so much damn experience in that area. And I guess in order for me to share on that, I have to let you guys know where I come from. I come from a place with my parents in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where I'm originally from. And what I was taught that love was explains to me why I always look for it in the wrong places. I was taught that love was getting my ass whooped and bearing down to a man. That's what I thought love was. So when I had an opportunity to go out into the world, I looked for that in people. I remember, though, my biological father showing me something different. I have three memories of my biological father, and the first one was I was about five. I wasn't even five. I was like 3 years old, and he was teaching me how to swim in the ocean. And he said, don't go out too far, you know, because you'll drown. And me, I went out there anyway. Why I went anyway, I don't know. I wasn't but three. But I went out there anyway, and I almost drowned, and I remember him saving me. And he was my hero. And then I went to, I was crossing the street with my sister and brother, and the car was speeding down the road, and I tried to beat the car across the street, and I remember getting hit by that car. And my daddy was there at the hospital when I woke up. And the next memory I have is him taking me with him to pick up my sister and brother from school. And every day after school, when we picked them up, we would stop at the park and play. That's what I remembered about my biological father. And when I was five, he sent us to Nashville, Tennessee, and I ain't seen him since. When I got to Tennessee, my mom met another man, and it all looked good in the beginning. And I remember at that age saying to my mother, I don't want a new father. And I don't know why you seeing this man. I'm 5 years old, mind you. I don't know why you seeing this man, because my daddy will be here in a minute. You know, and I said that for like 32 years. And my father ain't showed up yet. Matter of fact, he's dead. He died like 12 years ago, and I never had another opportunity to meet him. So what I learned about love came from my mom and my stepfather. And the things that looked good about him was the money, because he was trying to buy the love that my mom had, I perceive. And I remember him buying us stuff and things all the time, and I would never accept him because I wasn't trying to accept him as my father. And once we moved him with him, everything turned around because he ended up being an abusive alcoholic. So what I learned about love wasn't pretty. So when I made it out there in the world, you know, I looked for the love that I received at home. And, you know, basically if you weren't beating my ass and telling me I wasn't going to be shit, and you ain't going to never amount to nothing, I really didn't think that you cared about me. I need a speaker. I'm in the wrong mic. See, you learn something every day. What about that? Wow, this program is beautiful. You got people that look out for you. You don't even ask. They just, you know, shit. Look. You get an opportunity to get embarrassed in this program and laugh about it. I couldn't do that shit when I was using. You laughed at me when I was using, I thought you were stealing my shit. You had to get butt naked. Don't laugh at me. You're stealing something, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But it's all right. This is a beautiful program. It works. And if you knew and you just got here, don't leave before the miracle happened. Please don't leave before the miracle happened. I come from a place of abusiveness. I don't blame that for me using. See, I done worked some steps. I know that shit ain't true. But once you get a certain age and you get around certain people showing you what to do and you make choices to do what you want to do, you choose your consequences as well. So I started making my choices and I started choosing my consequences. The problem was I didn't want the consequences. I just wanted to make the choice. And it didn't work like that. And I started trying to find love outside of me, is what happened. And I did that in people for a very, very long time. And not just any kind of people. The most of the time I was looking for love in men. I remember being like 12 years old, and I used to sleep in the bed with my little girl cousin. She was like 16. And I remember her having sex in the bed right beside me. And I remember those men telling her that they loved her. So I always thought if I found a man, I can find love. Because I have not been able to feel safe and secure like I did with my biological father. I ain't been able to feel that ever again till I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I was out there for a long time. My drug of choice was crack. And when crack wasn't available, whatever made me feel good is what I did, right? So that means I stole, I lied, I prostituted. I just did everything I needed to do to take me outside of what I was feeling. Now, I never knew that, like, I was looking for love. I had no clue that that's what I was looking for. But that's actually what I was looking for. Just couldn't seem to find it. And I'm going to tell you something. I went somewhere everywhere looking for it. Kind of traveled around from state to state. And everywhere I went, I took me with me. And I couldn't figure out what was missing. There was something missing. Yeah, and the literature says it best. It said, we thought we had found something different, and we thought we found it in drugs. There was something missing on the inside of me. And for whatever reason, I thought that, like, and I'm going to tell you something. I thought that drugs could replace it, because when I smoked dope, I felt good. Shit. I felt real good when I got high. I ain't have a problem getting high. Shit, I had a problem running out. When I ran out, that's when the real problem started, because now I started thinking of how I'm going to get some more. Matter of fact, before it ran out, I started thinking, where I'm going to get that next one from? And damn. I was real tired and exhausted, because prior to coming here, it was like 10 years I hadn't got high. I was just on a mission. Dope wasn't working no more. But I was still searching for something to make me feel better. And I can remember telling myself, if I can just get that one I got when I was in Tennessee. You know, and I had been in Miami for like 15 years and I still hadn't got it. So I was on a search for a feeling that I couldn't find in nothing. And I looked in a lot of stuff. That's a little bit about my history. I don't want to stay on there too long, because what I've learned in this process, I need to share my history so I can identify with the newcomer. Because you are the most important person here. And I need to acknowledge you. You are the most important person in any meeting. Because we cannot keep what we have unless we give it away. And I remember them saying that when I got here. And I didn't understand it, because, you know, I thought I was the shit. I ain't new. Y'all motherfuckers don't know me. Ain't shit new about me. Y'all just don't know who y'all dealing with. That's the attitude I had when I got here. You know, and it's so beautiful, because the people in Narcotics Anonymous, they didn't do anything but put their arms around me. And they said, it's okay, baby, just keep coming back. Come on, sit up front, sit right there, and don't go nowhere. Now, when I was out there in the streets, ain't nobody said that shit to me. Nobody. Matter of fact, they said, here come that damn Coco. y'all better put y'all shit up. Right? Because at the end of my road, I couldn't be trusted. I couldn't be trusted. I ran in and out of this program for a long time, and I'm going to tell you why. I wasn't introduced to Narcotics Anonymous as a place that was here to help me. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in treatment, but I was introduced to treatment by another girl that worked the streets with me who told me that in treatment, you can sleep. They're going to feed you 3 times a day. They're going to give you some clothes, and Coco, you can gain your weight back. That pimp will take you back then, right? And I went into treatment for like 6 years for that reason. I had no concept that they wanted to show me how to change my life. They wanted to introduce me to a place that can help me stop using. And I'm going to tell you that, like, prior to coming here, I always wanted to stop, but I couldn't. I am so eternally grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I can never, ever repay them for who I am today. And I ain't talking about using no dope, y'all. I'm talking about me as a person. Because I finally found out where to find that love at. They kept telling me when I got here, it's going to get better. Don't go nowhere. It's going to get better. About 3 years after being here, I found out that it was me. Started working some steps. And after I worked step one, you know, people talk about step four, but the most powerful step for me was step one. Step two blew me away because, damn, I really was insane. All them years, people was telling me stuff, and I was cussing their asses out because y'all don't know me. And what I got with was when I wrote my steps down, didn't nobody tell me what to say. I wrote them by myself, for myself. And when I took a look at it, I realized that everything that people had been telling me for years was true. I don't know about you, but that was my breaking point. At that moment, and it wasn't until that moment, and it was 2-3 years later, it was at that moment that I wanted to change. I'm going to tell you what happened. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. So I called up this guy, and I slept with him, because that's what I thought love was. And the feeling was good, but then he had to go. Because he was a married man. And he can go, but the feeling can't, so I called somebody else.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And we were doing our thing, and he got a phone call. He wasn't married, but he wasn't available. So he had to go. So I just picked up the phone, and I called another. And within 1 hour, I done laid down with 3 different people, uncovered, talking about looking for love in all the wrong places. Because I found out it wasn't the men that I was looking for the love in, it was the feeling. I realized at that moment after that third person, let me just tell the complete truth since I'm up here. The third person was this little young boy that, like, I molested. I was 24 and he was 13. And I molested him for 5 complete years. And I paid his mom off not to call the police on me. Because he boned me real well. And he made me feel real good. And I did not want that feeling to go away, so I kept him by any means necessary. The third guy was that little boy, and it was about 10 years later, because I think I was like 37, and I called this guy over, and I did say I paid his mama, but I forgot to tell y'all I paid him too. Mm-hmm. I was a paymaster. Paid him well. Yes, I did. And that day, I went to the bank. Because, see, one thing about recovery, and you work some steps, and you start to apply what the steps give you, you find out who you are. I got a pleasure out of paying this little young boy to do me. That was a pleasure for me. Now, I always thought that something was wrong with that. The only thing that was wrong with it is that he was underage and I could have took my black ass to jail. That was what was wrong with it, but however I like my pleasure is how I like my pleasure. The steps taught me to get okay with that, right? I went to the bank and I paid this little boy to have sex with me. And what I remember is, he wanted some more money. Now, mind you, I ain't hustling no more. I'm in recovery, and I'm working hard for my money. It's not the same. So I said, I tell you what, and I got up and I pulled up my clothes, and I said, I want you to walk to the bank with me because I ain't driving. I'm still walking and paying somebody to have sex with me. I should have brought a car. I should have brought a car, Mom. Yeah. But I walked to the bank with this guy, right? And he wanted $80. I gave him $100. And I said, take this $100 because that's the last time we'll have that act again. And I ain't had to use him or me since then in that manner. I'm not just recovering from drugs. I'm recovering from prostitution. I'm recovering from conning. I'm recovering from thieving. You understand what I'm saying? I have a lot of addictions. Because if it made me feel good, I had to have it. Didn't have no name on it. And it didn't matter who you were. I'm just glad that I never ran up on no type of animal. It made me feel good, because shit. I'm just saying that, like, the state of mind that I was in, I can't tell you what I would have done. Because at that point, I had no control. The steps taught me that. At some point in my life, I crossed over. Once I crossed over, I was no longer in control. I wasn't making decisions and choosing my consequences. Them shits chose me. And that's okay, because today I don't live like that. But that was my last time using that little boy. And I'll tell you something, this program is wonderful because I had an opportunity to make amends to that little boy this year. And he didn't understand the amends. But what I found out is that he didn't have to understand that I did. And I just told him, just stay in this process, because he's clean now. Thank God. And I tried to explain to him the harm that I had did. And you don't have to understand it, but I understand I harmed you. And he was glamorizing on the things that I taught him, because I ain't just, excuse my language, I ain't just have sex with him. I taught him how to get money. And your stuff's so good, it got gold on the boy, everybody need to pay you. And I don't say that to y'all because I'm proud. He was just a baby. He was just a baby. And I didn't have no right to do that. And I don't beat myself up about it because I ain't know no better. I was doing what was done to me. This program is really a deep program. Let me tell you. When I found real love is when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. Because people here embrace me. They embrace me and they said, come on in, you're welcome here. Come on, girl. And they were smiling and I was scared to death of y'all. I didn't know what to do with that. So I did what I always do. I cussed y'all ass out. Get the fuck away from me. Leave me alone. Why y'all hugging me all the time? Because I didn't know what to do. I had never seen that shit before. It was like some shit that came off of TV. I was like, wow. But you know what? I got into the step work, and after that little boy that last time, I had moved back to Tennessee, and I called my sponsor who resides in Miami. And I remember saying to her, oh my God, you're not gonna believe what I just did. Cause see, for a long time, I blamed drugs for everything I did. It was because of the dope. If I wasn't smoking, I wouldn't be like this. And if I could just stop using, I wouldn't live like this. And it was 2 years, 6 months, and like 4 days. And I ain't had no dope, and I done slept with 3 people in an hour. Who am I blaming that shit on? I called my sponsor crying. You ain't gonna believe what I just did, because I don't believe I just did that shit. But I said, I know what? Drugs ain't the problem. At that moment, I understood that I was the problem. There was something wrong with the way I was thinking. There was something wrong with the way I made decisions. I didn't know how to make healthy decisions for myself. You know, and she just simply said, she used to piss me off. Because she never tell me no real dramatic shit, you know. She said, it's okay, baby. It's okay. Real subtle. She said, you got your literature? And I said, yeah. She said, open it up and read it. And I read on the phone with her. And she sat there with me until I went through the pain of identifying with who I am. Because at that moment, I understood who I was. And I wasn't pretty. I wasn't respectful. And I didn't like me too well. So what she did was she gave me my first step, and I worked it. And we went over the first step. I flew back to Miami so I can go over my first step with my sponsor, and she gave me a second step. That second step taught me, you know, because I never understood why hope was the damn second principle, what that shit about. Hope is the second principle for me because even though I was who I was, if I didn't use, I can get better based on the second step. Based on the principle. I need to keep the hope alive that I did what I did, but if you don't use, Valerie, you can do things differently. You can change what you do if you don't use. I needed to remember the if you don't use part, because I always thought I can use and then change some shit. And it never worked out for me, you know? So, I just really got into the literature because one of the things I identified with in the literature was when it talked about the animal level living. Said the disease that had you so tore up, you'd be out there living like a little stray animal, all out there. That was me. When I read that part, reality just set in. Shit. Because when I looked at it, I ain't had nowhere to go. I had a cardboard condo up under the bridge on Brickell Avenue in Miami, Florida. If y'all ever come down there, y'all can see where I used to reside. Because now there's some real condos down there. Can't live there no more. They done put some real condos there. But I used to live in cardboard boxes. I used to eat wherever I could. You understand? And I didn't go live in the cardboard box because I chose to. I understand through my steps that I didn't have a choice because I had crossed over and I would do whatever my disease told me to do. And if it told me to go live in a cardboard box, I did it without a second thought. So I come into recovery, find out that drugs ain't the problem. Because you know, every time I went in treatment, I didn't understand why I was in treatment because I ain't had no problem. And I remember this addict saying to me, if drugs the problem, why drugs ain't in treatment? Fuck my shit up. I was like, damn. Because I had an answer for everything, but I couldn't answer this shit. I ain't know, you know. So I started working steps. And I'm going to tell you, when I tapped into love, it wasn't but like a year ago. I haven't had a reason to use since March the 4th, 1999. I celebrated 8 years last month. But I'm gonna tell you something. Yeah. I have not had a reason to use A lot of things have happened to me. You know, people have died. I've lost people in this fellowship who took me under their wing and they showed me how to live. They died clean. You know, I got put out of a three-quarter way house. I guess y'all, I don't know if y'all call them halfway houses or whatever you call them. And I got beat up by the police. All this stuff happened to me within a year clean. And I didn't have to use behind it. And because I didn't use, I knew that I was on my way somewhere. I ain't know where, look, I had no idea it would be in Ocean City, Maryland, standing in front of y'all today, sharing my experience. But I knew it was gonna be something, you know. I started working steps, and me, I had one of them kind of sponsors who never made using an option. She never once said to me, and she told me why she didn't say it. She said, because my sponsor didn't tell me that. My sponsor never made using an option for me. She never said, if you don't stop sleeping with that married man, you're going to use. She never told me that. She never said, if you don't do this, you're going to use. She never made using an option. Instead, she always made recovery possible. Always. She always said, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Stay in the meetings and keep applying yourself. Right? And I did that. I started working steps. I started to incorporate the steps in my life maybe 2 years ago. And what brought that on was this guy. I was looking for love. I was looking for love with this guy. Rasta guy. Damn, I love that nigga. Shit. Ooh, Lord. Right? But he didn't love me. He did not love me the same way I loved him. See, there's a difference in loving someone and understanding the love that you have for someone. I had a love for him that he couldn't get with. And he had a love for me I couldn't get with. Oh, shit. I wanted him to be my husband. He just wanted to have a little fling every now and then. There's a difference. So what I learned from this guy, let me tell you something. I don't deny anybody of their experience in this process, because everything that you go through is going to help you grow or go. You'll do one of the two, right? If you don't use, chances are you'll grow. If you go through things and you learn from them, wow, it's a hell of a thing. I ain't never been able to, like, bend down and look at my shoes and they was brown and say, shit. Because if I looked down at my shoes and they was brown, I smoked dope. I don't know about y'all. I got high on any little thing. Today, I don't have to get high no matter what. If my shoes ain't the right color, I go get another pair. You know what I'm saying? Or I wear them. Fuck it. It ain't that serious. I started living the principles behind the steps. And I started tapping into some love that I had never knew before. And it didn't have nothing to do with anybody else. By the time I got to the 12th step, I learned, because see, something happened when I was dating this guy, and I really, really loved him, and I did, but I forgot to love me first. Do you understand? So whatever he wanted or needed, or I thought he wanted or needed, happened, and I started losing myself clean. Had 6.5 years clean, and I was losing me because I'm trying to love you. And that just didn't make sense to me. It's like dope. That shit don't make sense to me now. It don't make sense for me to use because shit happened. So why am I sitting here losing me trying to love you? I was looking for love in the wrong places. And I remember I had to change sponsors. And I did that. And I started working steps with my new sponsor. And I started finding out that, like, I don't care how much sense I think I got and what the hell I think I know. I need to believe the people that was here before me. I need to believe in the literature because they wrote it before the people that was before me was here. They wrote it way before they got here. I need to believe them when they say that if you don't love you, you can't love anybody else. You will be looking for love in all the wrong places. And I kept looking for love outside of me, whether it was in Macy's, right? In the Timberland shop, you know, at the Jamaican store. You know, I looked for love in a lot of places, and no matter what I did and how much money I spent and who I brought into my life, there was something missing. So what I did was I started to incorporate the steps in my life. And I'm going to share that it's very different living the steps and incorporating them in your life. Very different. When I started to incorporate the principles that are behind the steps in my life, I became important. I became real important, not to you, but to me, right? And I ain't one of them people to walk around with a halo on a head. I'm not that. What I am is I'm another recovering addict, living one day at a time, trying my best to like be better at whatever it is that I do, right? And through working the steps and incorporating them in my life, guess where I found love at? Inside of me. Guess how I found it? I was doing service for Narcotics Anonymous. I did service for Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah. And I tapped into the love inside of me. And if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Because see, I believe that the newcomer is the most important person. Because when I walked in, I was new and I didn't know shit. And no matter how much I was screaming, kicking, and fussing, they did not tell me to go away. You're making too much noise. They said, come on in, baby, sit right here and be quiet. Somebody's sharing. They didn't ask me to leave. They told me to stay. They told me I belonged here. I became very involved in service in Narcotics Anonymous. The 12th step, the principle behind that is service. And if you haven't gotten there, that's okay. If you're in service and you ain't at a 12th step, you're on your way. Don't give up. Service for me is all about me looking for love in the right places. I can find love and service in Narcotics Anonymous. So when I leave outside of here, I can love people outside of here too and do service for them as well. Today, love for me is on the inside of me, right? And when I tap into it, I can love you too just as much as I love me. And I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, this is a beautiful program. If you don't believe, that's okay. Just believe that I believe. And my time is running out. So I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. Just close your eyes and think of an addict that has passed on or an addict that you wish was here. Somebody that's here and struggling, just picture them. Pray for them and ask them to keep coming back. Do your best to embrace them. Show them the love that was freely shown to you. Thanks for letting me share.
Our second speaker, good friend of mine, I'd like to give y'all a look.
My name is Lou, recovering addict. And thank God for waking me up this morning. You know, I'm nervous. I hope everybody just leave.
Put some dope up on the table.
Yeah. I'm really nervous, and I'm not a person that gets nervous, you know. I do thank God for waking me up this morning, you know, and I love narcotics and arms to save my life. You know, this topic is really a topic that I kind of like, I think I can't share on it, but I really can share on it. You know what I'm saying? For real, it's my topic. And 99% of us in the room is probably our topic too. And when you talk about looking for love in the wrong places, I'm gonna tell y'all a little bit about my childhood. You know, I grew up in Washington, D.C., you know, and in a wonderful neighborhood. I didn't see nobody shoot no dope. I ain't seen nobody smoke no weed. My mother was a social worker. My grandmother was a nurse. Wasn't no father in the home. I ate 3 meals a day. I had toys for most of the kids, had toys. My household was nice. My mother, she wanted me to be an educated fella, so she put me in Catholic school. I took piano lessons, I took voice lessons, some opera, I was an altar boy, myself for the National Strike Choir. I was a good kid, you know. Meanwhile, I was a kid who didn't like myself. I didn't like my last name, I didn't like my height, I didn't like I had no father. It was just a lot of things I didn't like about myself. My mother, she would have me in these different things trying to better myself. And then on the other hand, she really confused me as a child, because when I would fall down, she wouldn't hug me or kiss me. She'd tell me, get the fuck up. You know, and all I used to hear when I was a child, you ain't gonna be no bitch. You know, and so I was real confused, you know, and as a result, and I played with a lot of little girls. I was jumping rope, I was playing tee, I was doing all this. So what my mother decided to do, she wanted to toughen me up. So she started sending me on trips in the summertime over family members' houses. Before that, she had brought me a brand new bike, a bright yellow bike. And I got on the bike, and my mother was the type. She whipped me with extension cords, with long switches. And when she was whipping me with the extension cord, it was hitting my back while I was cutting my back. She would tell me she loved me. And I didn't understand that neither. And what happened one day, I was somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be with the bike. And someone snatched me off of my bike in the alley. And there was a guy who put a knife to my neck. And he told me to pull my pants down. I was 8 years old. And I was a child. I didn't really understand what was going on. And I started screaming. He said, be quiet. He pushed the knife in my neck, and it cut me. And then it was a voice from the house, and he ran. So I didn't know what was going on, but I know what he was trying to do wasn't right. So I got on my bike, and I was gone. You know, but when I got home, I couldn't tell my mother because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. You know, and I didn't want to get whooped with no extension cords. You know, 2 more years later, I was 10, and I had a female cousin. She used to touch me, you know. We used to play house. She would kiss me and touch me. She would do things to me. I was 10. She was like 13 or 14. 2 years after that, I'd be wanting to go over house. You know what I'm saying? I'd be looking for her. You know, I'd be telling my mother, I want to go over auntie house. You know what I'm saying? I was 12. 2 years after that, I was 14. And she was older. And she was saying no, and I was saying yeah. You started something. So what happened? I started raping her. You know what I'm saying? So I was the victim, then a volunteer, now I'm the predator. You know, I'm the child who had always wanted a father. So when I see a man with his son, it does something special to me. My mother worked 2 jobs, my grandmother worked 2 jobs. I was 8 years old, I had a key around my neck. I came home, I was in our house by myself. You know, I was always by myself. They left messages. I had to learn how to cook, and I had to learn how to fend for myself. I started catching charges. My mother would send me to different projects, because the majority of my family lived in projects. And I came home, I still couldn't fight. I was breaking people's cars. I was gambling. I was, before I was 13, I had assault charges. I was carrying weapons. I was getting in a lot of trouble. You know, I was playing football, and I remember I would, when we talking about looking for love, you know, I was looking for love from a man. I needed a father in my life. When I seen a kid with his father, I wanted that. When I played football and the other kids' fathers was out there, that's something that I wanted. You know, and that's something that I didn't have. You know, as I was growing up, man, we would go to a friend's house and we would look at nasty magazines. And, you know, my body was going through feelings. I couldn't tell my mom, because I thought she was going to beat my ass. You know, so what happened, I reached out to the street real early. You know, I got put out of Catholic school. My mother moved us to Maryland. I got put out of Maryland schools. I started getting a lot of trouble. I started going to receiving home. I started going to a lot of different places. Age 17, I had assault on a police officer. Make a long story short, I went to the military. And when I got into the military, they sent me to Wichita Falls, Texas. And I was stationed in a unit, and with about 45 white guys, I was the only black guy in the unit. And nobody would speak to me. Nobody would really say nothing to me. They wouldn't even call me my name. They would call me boy. And what happened, one day, they all went out drinking, and I ran along with them, because see, I'm looking for love. I don't care who it is. You know what I'm saying? I just want somebody to be my friend. I just want somebody to love me. You know what I'm saying? That's what I've been doing my whole life, just looking for some friends, somebody to care about me, somebody to love me. You know, and what happened? We started drinking, and I was the last one standing up. You know, and the next day, they started calling me by my name. You know, I remember when I was little, and my mother would cook, and I would steal chicken out the house, and I would give it to my friends who ain't had no food, because I wanted people to like me. I've always been a kid who always wanted somebody to like me. You know what I'm saying? So I would give you my toys. I would give you anything. You know, I was saying, this is not my topic, but this is my topic. You know, I came home on leave from the military. And at that time, I was smoking PCP. And I just ain't go back. I don't know what happened.
You put it no good.
Yeah, I got stuck. I was stuck. I was moving in slow motion. I was stuttering, and I was literally stuck. And a friend of mine said, well, he said, ain't you in the military? And I said, yeah. And what happened? He said, well, you've been in my basement for about 2 months. Because that's the way we talk. And we're not talking about dippers, we're not talking about $10 bags, we're talking about $15 bags of PCP when John Hinckley shot the president. We're talking about that type of PCP, pencyclidine, that's what we're talking about. You know, Scarface came out. Me and my friends went to see Scarface, and we all decided what our career was gonna be. And it didn't last long for me. I didn't end up a crackhead. They used to call us pipeheads. You know, and that's the way it was. You know, I ended up 110 pounds, eating out of trash cans. I've been shot close range. I've been stabbed. I jumped out of moving vehicles. You know what I'm saying? I have pants maybe like 5 sizes too big. I tie a rope around them with a kitchen knife on my side. You know what I'm saying? A straight shooter in his hand with some real rocks in his hand, and I go on a mission. You know, and that's what I do. You know, if I'm drinking alcohol, it's not why those roses spit. Because that's when, by the time it get to me, that's the way it was. You know, my mother got sick during my using, and I wasn't a good son. I was using. And I went to see her, and she was wondering, and she was in the hospital for 18 months, and she couldn't wonder where her son was, where her only son was. Her only son that she gave the whole world to. And what happened, I didn't know nothing about powerlessness. But because I kept coming back and I stayed coming to these meetings, I got to see what powerlessness means. You know, and if you want to stay here, you need to know what powerlessness means. I went to see my mother, and she was hugging me, and I was kissing her. And I looked, and I seen money in her purse. Now, I didn't want to take the money, but we talking about obsession. You know, we talking about a constant thought. That thought, and that fella kicked up again. And it's my mother. I love my mother. You know what I'm saying? But the pipe was more important at that time. I started crying, but I couldn't help myself. So what happened, it started affecting my mind, then it started affecting my body. You know what I'm saying? Then I started sweating. Then I seen her class ring. Then I took the ring off her finger. You know what I'm saying? Then I proceeded to leave and go get high. Then she died not too long after that. You know, I'm telling you, when I use, I'm a pipehead. And I go through any lengths. If you're not a pipehead yet, I suggest you stop right now. You know, so when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was young. You know, and I really didn't understand this process here. The hugging, the getting along with people. Because I always thought people was my problem. I didn't like nobody. I wouldn't close my eyes and say the prayer. I wouldn't do none of that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I needed my paper signed because I wasn't trying to go to jail. I had 6 charges, and I was facing like 170 years in jail, from distribution to assault to carjacking to whatever it was. I tell you, when I use under any means necessary. You know, and when I got here, you talking about looking for love, you know what I'm saying? I really didn't understand what love was. You know, in the street, I've never really had a girlfriend. I just messed with a lot of females, right? So I didn't know what happened, you know, how it was to mess with one female, you know. And I had a relative who say that whatever you put out in the world, it come back to you, you know. So what happened? My mother was dead, you know. And so what happened? I wanted a woman, but I was looking for a mother, you know. I was looking for love. I wanted a family. So what happened? I wanted love, I wanted a family. I accepted anything that came my way. Your ass ain't have to work, you know. And as a result, what I would do, I would go to places like shelters, you know, and I clean your ass up. You know what I'm saying? I bring you home. You know, if you look at me in the meeting and you smile, she won't go with me. Y'all laughing? You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. I done brought many a furniture. Yeah. I have a couple engagement rings circling around, you know. Because I'm looking for something. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how to find it. You know, and some of us give each other misinformation. As long as you don't use, it's gonna be all right. It takes more than just not using. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a change of the mind, a change of your heart. We're talking about developing a relationship with a power that's gonna have your back under any circumstances. Because what's gonna happen in the program, people gonna fail you. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because they mean to. It's not, you know, because we all in different places, you know, and that has happened to me, you know. And I have a 12-year-old daughter, you know, and she'll be 13 in May, and I've been raising her for 13 years by myself, you know, and you talk about. It's not a clapping thing, because that's my seed. That's a man's job to take care of his child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing to clap about. I'm not doing nothing spectacular. You know, our black women been doing that for a long time. So it's nothing spectacular. But what has happened is that my child is very loving and caring and affectionate. And I'm not really loving and caring and affectionate with my child. But when I want some booty, when I want a young lady in my life, when I'm trying to run some game, when I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm real loving, caring, and affectionate. When my child sees me, she lights up. She runs, she wants to hug me, you know, and I push her off, you know, because I'm not really used to that. You know, I don't want people to get close to me. I really hang by myself. I got a few guys I ain't with, you know, but I really am alone. I don't want people that come in my life die. You know, and that's, and if I got any weak points in recovery, it's people coming to my life and dying. That's the only thing I don't like about this recovery stuff, is meeting all you people and people dying. You know, that's the only thing that my heart can't take. Because I have an understanding, looking for love in all the wrong places, then, you know, I always thought I was hard, I always thought I was thorough. Little man complex, fighting somebody 6 feet, it was whatever. I would fight anybody, any place, anywhere, you know, give me a sack of boat, give me a knife, a pistol, give me a stick, it was on. But now I'm finding out I'm sensitive. You know, I'm loving, I'm caring, you know, and it's hard sometimes, you know. I don't want to be a father all the time. You know, I don't want to be responsible. I've never been responsible. You know, all this stuff for me is first time with me. You know, y'all say, y'all get y'all jobs back. I wasn't working nowhere. If I wanted your something, I took your shit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I got it from a woman, or my family took care of me. You know, someone been taking care of me my whole life. You know what I'm talking about? My first couple years clean, my grandma was buying my drawers. You know, she was making my breakfast. She was getting up in the morning making my breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Man, you know, And thing about me, I'm not no thorough dude, I'm not no vicious dude, but I really don't know how to react when you hurt my feelings. So normally when you hurt my feelings, you know, I'm telling you, I'm a kid that at 13, I was peeing in the bed. You know what I'm saying? They was coming up to the school taking money out of my shoes. So then when I learned how to defend myself and I started acting another kind of way, things didn't happen. So you mean I'm in recovery. I ain't smoking no crack, so who I'm left with? So all y'all in here, we not using, who you left with? And she said it. She said it, the pipe ain't the problem now. The dope ain't the problem. It will be the problem again. But where the problem is, you know, I'm the problem. You know, I'm talking about looking for love, right? I call the chat line, okay? Now look at me. I work for DC government. You know what I'm saying? I only make about $40,000 a year. Last year I made $60,000 maybe or whatever. I made good money, I had fresh clothes. I have a fully equipped Suburban with heated seats. But I called a chat. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm looking for something. You know what I'm saying? You know, and everybody here know about looking for something. Don't look at me like y'all crazy. You know what I'm saying? When we thought we dropped something, we look for something. So we understand the concept of looking for something. You know, because the Bible has a concept, says, a man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking for something. And I think my dilemma is I look in the wrong places. My dilemma is that I don't go to the source for help. Now, I remember coming to the meeting a long time, man, talking about, man, I'm tricking. Can't stop tricking. I was clean for a while. And another dude would raise his hand. I got the same problem. So what would happen? We would try to help each other. So we would ride down the street. And all what happened is that I got a tricking buddy because we see a girl to trick together. We take the girl and pick her up. You know what I'm saying? And so, but what happened? You know, sharing about something is what it is. It's just sharing. The problem not going to be removed. You know, you tell people to meet, you know, share about it. Sharing is good, but if you don't go to the source, you need to find a source in your life. You know, and the source is important. We're talking about when something happens in your life, you know it's going to be all right. See, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I lose everything, it's going to be all right. See, I'm talking about when I got some fella in my life, it's going to be all right. You know, I'm talking about looking for love. shit, I go to strip clubs too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I go, you know what I'm saying? You know, and in looking for love, I look for validation. I look for people to say good things about me. Because at times my self-esteem is low. You know, I have some little things and little clothes and nice looking and I could cook, I could clean, I could do all those things, but what happened? I placed myself in the wrong places. So what happened? I meet the wrong kind of people. You know, I'm the type of dude that'll go and I'll meet a hoe. You know what I'm saying? And I'll know she a hoe. And I'll say, I want you. You're gonna be my girl. You understand what I'm saying? Because when I finish doing what I do, you ain't gonna be a hoe no more. You understand what I'm saying? So she may stop being a hoe, and I thought it was because of me. And what happened, during the course of the relationship, she do what she know best, and that's being a hoe. So now I'm hurt, and I'm crying. Then I have friends in the fellowship, like my buddy Vincent over there, Eric, who would say, well, you knew she was a hoe when you met her. So why you mad when she doing what she do? When she being who she is, you know? And just looking for something, you know? And I'm looking for love, and it's in my household, my child. You know, I work in a jail setting with adolescents. I work with 12 and 13 year old girls who are having sex, anal sex, all sex. Boys that are 9 and 10, you know, this carjacking, you know what I'm saying? I work in this kind of setting, you know. And now I have a 12 year old who is going on 13, who got a phone call a couple of months ago at 1 o'clock in the morning from somebody named Get a Life. Yeah, that's what his nigga name was, Get a Life. And I answered the phone. I said, Get a Life about to get fucked up by mad ass dad. Believe that. So here I'm raising this little girl. She's pretty. Cute, you know, and she's going through changes with her body, the women things. Now she's a first year in junior high school, you know what I'm saying? And I really don't know what to do. Now, and a lot of you all are saying, well, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? We a fellowship of men and women who talk that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'll be there for you. If you need something, I remember people used to say that about her hair, but I had to learn how to do her own hair my goddamn self. You know what I'm saying? Because when I called, you was too busy. Yeah. So I got crimper irons, curlers, blow dry. I got that shit in the house. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all were busy. You know, and now, you know, I'm trying to learn how to hug her. And why is that so hard? You know, because I don't love myself. I like myself. I'm just learning to like myself. And I've been clean for a while. You know, it's a lot of, the work don't never stop. You know, I don't know why I think and we think when we come in here and we do 1 through 12 that it's over. This shit ain't never over. Because what happened, you know what the word reoccur mean? You know, reoccur is a word that when you think you've done something, it comes again. It can happen again. You know, so I got this little girl and she wants to go out with little friends. She wants to go with parties. I let her go to a party and the ladies had chaperones and the lady says, you can stop God and throw it down. You can leave and go where you was going. You know, so what happened, I went in to the back. There was people to the window. On the pod. You know what I'm saying? And what happened, my daughter is, you know, and she plays innocent. You know, and she falls and busts her knees like she's clumsy and she bounds. But when I peeped through the window, Miss Thang was dropped down to get your eagle horn and everything. You know, and I really didn't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? And I was looking, I was like, is that true? That's my daughter. So what happened? I realized that things are changing in her life. You know, and I have to make myself more available. You know what I'm saying? I have to stop being so selfish and thinking it's all about me, because I'm very selfish. You know what I'm saying? It's all about what I want. You know what I'm saying? When we both get sick, I be telling her, you need to go to the store. You know, you need to, you know, I'm very selfish. You know, I need to start hugging my daughter more. You know, I went to strip club last night. You know, looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. And that's a heck of a topic, you know. What I'm looking for, I already have with my child and inside of me. You know, I have it at my job with some of these kids that are in there for attempted murder. Murder, when I come to work, some of them embrace me with a hug. You know, some of these kids who don't have a father, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what I do. You know, I call the chat line, and you know, you call chat line, you get to talk with females and stuff. And I talked to this girl for about an hour. And I was into the conversation, you hear me? I was sweating, I was so into the conversation. We had something going there, right? Then after about an hour, she sounded so sexy, so good. She said, I gotta tell you something. I said, what, baby? You know, I was sounding sexy, right? She said, I'm a man. By that time, I was caught up. I said, baby, keep talking. I'm okay. You know, I don't even care, man. I was in my feelings. Keep talking. I've never had that kind of encounter, but I'm talking about how you feeling. You know, when my grandmother died, you know, I was depressed. And I'm still depressed. It's difficult for me to clean my house. I have maybe 130 pair of jeans, about 40 pair of Timberlands. Because when she died, we had just started getting along. You know what I'm saying? She had just started accepting me in my life after years of calling me all kind of names and everything like that, right? So, and then she died on me. So now I'm without my mother, without my grandmother, and I'm so caught up in missing them that I'm not giving my daughter the love that she deserves. You know, so, you know, I'm trying. You know, I was supposed to get married, and she changed her mind. You know, and I was like, wow, it's the second time. You know, so I started looking, is it me? You know, then when I was out here dogging females, they was coming a dime a dozen. So now I hold the door open, I'm a gentleman, I cook, you know what I'm saying? I'm respectful. I don't put my hands on nobody. It's a difficult thing. I don't want to be a hoe. I really don't. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, it seems like I can't find nothing else to do. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I want a wife. I want to settle in. I want to be with somebody. But I'm not going to, you have to be emotionally available for me because I bring too much to the table to settle for just anything. So what usually happens with me is that I go to strip clubs and I meet what I meet because I know what it is and it's whatever. And I don't have no attachment. So fuck it, you go about your business. You know, that's what it is, but that's not really what I want. So what I want is not coming my way, because I'm going to say this and be quiet, you know, and looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, the Bible says a man who findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. So findeth means that you must look once you're prepared. I've been prepared for a while, you know, but what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, the ladies are looking. That's not your role. You know, we got to learn how to play our roles. God give us a role. He give us a part to play. You must learn. If you work on yourself, you'll learn your part. Your part is to wait to be found. Once you prepare yourself, you're supposed to wait to be found. But what happened? The fellas are waiting, and the women are looking. See, we playing different roles. We gotta switch our roles, you know, and then that's when we learn how to be happy.